We have editor at large of Varsity, Louis Ashworth, in the studio here, and Roberta Hildish, who is the vice president of KUSU, to talk about the current issues. Louis, what's been the story, and why have there been such losses over the last 2 years?
Well, Peter, so last Sunday, KUSU sent around their very preliminary draft budget for the year 2017-2018, which had a big big red number in it, which was they were predicting a deficit of £75,000 over the next year. The key bit of this document, in fact, was that it said that as a result of losing £75,000, KUSU's reserves would drop from a figure of about £160,000 to about £90,000. Now, KUSU's annual reports on its finances are a little bit out of date at the moment. The most recent ones that we have is the reports for the financial year ending 30th of June 2015. And at that point, it says that KUSU's reserves were £360,000. So this prompted a question at KUSU Council on Monday as to why there was a £200,000 differential between them. And essentially, as a result of that, KUSU have admitted that due to massive shortfalls in their inspected income from publications.
So what were these publications?
So there's a number of them. So it's worth basically saying that the core of KUSU's financial activities for a while in terms of income has been a split between affiliation fees, a number of publications that are normally careers publications, they're normally based around kind of selling the idea of Cambridge to graduate employers or other higher education institutions. And the other big one actually was ENTS for quite a while. So people who are undergrads now, and even a lot of people who've been here for a while won't remember, but KUSU used to be active in the nightlife scene in Cambridge. You used to be able to go to Life or Cindy's, and you might be able to go to a KUSU night.
Halcyon days.
Indeed. Well, we forget that even back in the day there was once a Varsity Club night.
So, really? Was there? That's incredible.
The Jeremy Paxman night is long gone.
Nothing is new.
Anyway, indeed. But that is in the past now, and KUSU has for a couple of years now had no income coming from publications, which has resulted in very large deficits. Now, on Monday, KUSU's general manager, Mark McCormack, said that he expected that the final deficit posted for the year ending 30th of June 2016 would be about £59,000, and for the year ending 30th of June 2017, which obviously we're still coming towards.
And has there been a change in the story?
Yes. So he said at that point it'd be £140,000. Now, on Monday, we were told at KUSU Council by President Amite Doku and Mark McCormack, the general manager, that there'd basically been a thing called, they referred to it as slippage. They said that that there were publications that were due to come out of this publishing contract which were yet to come out, and that Amite made reference to a pipeline and said that they perhaps some publications were coming that would bring in revenue, but they didn't know when, and that's what we were told. Yesterday we received a more detailed draft budget which breaks down the cost a lot more, and KUSU have now said that in fact there hasn't been a budget in place, sorry, there hasn't been a contract in place for these publications since 2015.
So what does that mean?
The significant question that this raises is, KUSU have said that they've been negotiating for a new contract since partway through last year. We're not sure specifically when, but it doesn't say. The key question, which is one that I think will be as much on the minds of the new SABs as it is of probably KUSU council members, is given KUSU had no expectation of having any publishing income coming in during those years, as they had no contract in place, why was publishing income ever allowed to be part of KUSU's budget last year?
Roberta.
I think one of the first things I need to say is that no one's going to claim that everything went right here. There's clearly a problem, but there are huge chunks of this story that we're actually not allowed to talk about or haven't been able to talk about in sort of clear terms in the past because it contains commercially sensitive information. So KUSU is a charity governed by a board of trustees, and so there are certain things that we just can't talk about as clearly as we would like to. I just want to clarify that at the start. So getting to this contract specifically, the KUSU has been renegotiating this contract for a while,
and has not come to an agreement
with St. James's House, who are the publisher of the external publications that Louis mentioned. This is a kind of KUSU guide to excellence, a careers guide that KUSU has basically been selling its brand for. And St. James's House, sort of a big corporation, they do loads of other projects as well as this. And so one thing about the contract is, within the contract, it was specified that St. James's House would publish a guide, a publication every year, and CUSA would get a certain amount of money for that, a share of the advertising they sold for it. Now, this contract was sort of checked over by lawyers. It was deemed legally sound by them when it was first written up. The thing about contracts is that they're not always 100% enforceable if you don't have the resources to enforce them, right? So CUSA...
But a new contract was being made, mm-hmm, when the losses were known. So why were CUSA spending, mm-hmm, on money they didn't really have?
So there was an expectation at that point that this money would come through. And I've only been part of CUSA and part of the Board of Trustees for less than a year.
Yeah, I think that's important to mention. These are maybe slightly long-term issues than the last year.
There was an expectation that the money would come through. And as time went on and the contract was being renegotiated and the company, St. James's House, were again not really giving CUSA the terms that we felt we needed to have a sort of stable income stream, it became more and more clear that this money may never come in. And this is why now, in this budget, we're sort of presenting a model, kind of move away from this very volatile, unstable business relationship where they were just not really like giving us.
But in a wider issue, can you not mm-hmm see that students may be angry that mm-hmm they feel that they can't fully ask questions or interrogate CUSA over financial matters? And I see your point about the contract law and commercial matters being sensitive and they can't be fully be exposed, etc. But can you not see how distrust in CUSA is so low at the moment anyway? And, you know, last year thought that CUSA was at least competent. They had a belief in or trust in Amate was high and trust in the sabbatical officers was high. But can you see how that's quite threatened now?
Oh, 100%. And I completely think that this has not been communicated to members in the right way, that communication about this should have been much more open from the start. So that's exactly what we're trying to do now. So I think it's a little, it's sort of a bit misplaced to blame the current sabbatical officers for this or say that this would kind of make people not trust us. I understand why that would be the case, but I think what we should focus on right now is that we're trying to get out of this situation and trying to move on to a more stable income stream in order to provide the services that we want to provide to our members.
Louis, how do you respond that it's slightly misguided to blame the current sabbatical officers?
I think that's absolutely that key right. Question. Yeah, no, I absolutely agree that it's unfair to blame the current sabbatical officers. The difficulty with that, though, is that you could say that any year. I mean, every year the CUSA officers are likely to predominantly change, and as a result, CUSA's trustee board is likely to predominantly change. And at some point, there has to be a mechanism that allows people to hold them accountable for this. One of the big examples for this is in the new draft budget, they've proposed setting a new strategic plan for the next, I think it's the next 3 years. Now, CUSA set one of these previously in 2014, which is the 2014-17 strategic plan. And looking through it, you can see that most of the targets on there have been abandoned. And CUSA, this isn't to say that CUSA haven't accomplished things in other areas, but CUSA have failed most of those long-term strategic targets that they set. At some point, there needs to be a look at what the long-term management situation is and why it is that CUSA is not succeeding in its long-term goals.
Roberta?
Mm-hmm. I absolutely agree that CUSA really needs to get into a more long-term way of thinking and make sustainable plans for the future, which I think we're trying to do right now by moving away from these external publications and trying to ensure a more stable income stream for the future. And I'm not going to argue with you about the strategic plan because I know I can't argue that. But I think we also have to bear in mind, again, CUSA is a very small organisation. That means we often have to adapt quickly to kind of changing circumstances. And that can lead to things like the strategic plan not being sort of followed word by word because circumstances around us
What would you like to see the new sabbatical officers coming in under Daisy do to improve the situation?
Well, I mean, I think in a sense their role as sabbatical officers is the less important. I think that this year sabbatical officers have avoided a lot of the mistakes that were made last year in terms of communication issues and in general have been a much more visible group. I think that people are much more aware of who their officers are this year. And I think that's a very good thing. I think the key lies with QC's trustees, who have got to make some very hard decisions on whether they think the current approach to managing QC is working.
And Roberta, we've just had a question in asking, do you think this is a problem that comes about because QC sabbatical officers normally only run for 1 year, unlike other student unions?
I think that's a small part of the problem. I think the bigger issue might be that for a while now, KUSU hasn't really had a very stable board of trustees, which again, we're sort of working on addressing. We just passed some policy to sort of make the board of trustees a bit bigger in order to make sure that there's sort of more stability and more long-term stability with external trustees. I think the reason why KUSU sabbaticals often only run for 1 year is related to the fact that KUSU is a very underfunded small union, and that is quite difficult to work in KUSU as an organisation.
So looking with the cuts actually happening now, what do we think the ramifications of that are actually going to be?
On students.
So we've just released this draft budget, which is, we want to emphasise, it's open for consultation. So what we've done differently from last year is instead of presenting a sort of ready-made budget for people to vote on, we've been very clear that this is up for consultation and we're asking people their views on this. So the specific ramifications for students will be, we're looking at a sort of scaling down of the KUSU mail service, which we think isn't being used enough to justify the KUSU mail service is, what you might think of as UMS. So actually when the university mail service, so you can sort of send letters for free from your college to another college, and that's all run by KUSU. But yeah, it's not very visible. It's
I don't mean to be too harsh, but it's things like this which really suggests that KUSU is really running behind the times.
Have they heard of email?
Why haven't these things been abolished already?
Well, I mean, like, again, we're addressing them now. So yeah. I think asking why were they abolished years ago? Also, I actually want to disagree with you because the KUSU mail service is actually used quite a lot by societies and so on to sort of circulate flyers, to circulate leaflets and things like that. So it is actually, there is a reason why it's still there. And then there are a lot of other sort of what we've tried to do is instead of right now cutting sort of one huge area of what we do, we've gone kind of consistently through all areas of our services, our expenditure, and cut away a bit everywhere. So this hopefully is going to ensure that there won't be a huge impact on students in any of these areas.
Louis, I just want to ask you one more thing, which is in the Varsity article, which was published earlier today, I think. Another area that raises questions is the absence of KUSU's normal premises costs. For the last 2 years, KUSU has budgeted a fee of £86,000 for its office on 17 Mill Lane. This figure is usually matched by the university in an allocation grant, meaning that no overall loss or gain is made. But this figure is absent?
Yeah, I'm not quite sure about this, to be honest. It's a bit of a quirk of the budget. So it's worth noting as a four-part to this that actually the budget, even though we've had more specific figures now, is still not as detailed as the one we had last year. It's still somewhere in between the sort of very minute detail that we had last time, and what we've been presented with here. That being said, this big figure, I can't obviously see where it is. I mean, KUSU have a section in the budget where they budgeted for office costs, which they say includes use of offices, I believe, and it's much, much lower than it was before. I don't know. I mean, it's very possible that something's happened in the background to do with the university, where they've said since this is a cost that can be written off anyway, it's just not present. But it's a confusing thing to not have there.
Okay, I think that's all we have time for. It's a very complex issue. I don't know if there's anything else that any of our guests want to bring up. So if it was important, so please.
I would say, if I may say a final thing, is that the grand difficulty really that QC is facing here is we still haven't got a very clear answer on what future funding opportunities will be. Now, in this budget, QSU have said, actually, despite the fact that they've admitted to all these difficulties with the publication contract, they've said that future revenue streams may include a publishing contract. Now, if print revenue is really dropping at the level that they're saying, and really these things are so hard to negotiate, then there's no strong reason to believe that that's going to bring in enough money. And Kusu has for years now been saying that it should diversify its revenue streams, and they've actually become less diverse. So Kusu's going to have to quite quickly come up with some answers as to how it's going to make this extra money and think of some new ways that a student union can make profit.
Roberta, any final thoughts?
Yeah, so I'm not going to respond to this right now because we're running out of time. I think this is a really complex issue, and I just encourage all students, if you're at all interested in this, to kind of keep up with it, read what Varsity's writing about, which has been excellent. Attend to Kusu Council because it's open to all students, and sort of send in your ideas. If you have any ideas for what Kusu should be doing that we're not doing or what we shouldn't be doing, then please let us know. It's a consultation.
Quite liable to complain about Kusu, but actually the council meetings are open to all, and issues are discussed there.
And we'd love to know like what you think and what you want us to do or not to do.